there is only one cure for restlessness. There is only one way to receive rest. And it would be crazy, or at least ignorant, to try to talk about rest as we have without coming to a topic that's very near and precious to the heart of God. And that is knowing Jesus as your Sabbath rest. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 1 that you might understand the roots of Sabbath rest. The word Sabbath means rest. Today, rest of heart and rest of soul, much less rest of body, is almost an unknown thing. We're told in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then you go through each of the days, and I've already alluded to it, that with each day you see a work of God in bringing a person to Christ. Not only is this recorded so that we might have a record of how our world came to be, but God's creation is all the same. Like we've seen, His fingerprints are everywhere, and when He recreates a life, He comes to you in your darkness and He says, first of all, let there be light. And there is. And you can see, and you couldn't see before. And then the next day the Lord separated the waters, and you begin to distinguish now between what God wants and what God doesn't want, you see. And you understand, you begin to see the separation between the flesh and the spirit in your life. And He separated the waters from the land. The third day, fruit begins to appear. Verse 11. Fruit-yielding trees after their kind, with seed in them. As you're saved, you begin to see the fruit of the Spirit springing forth from that division of soul and spirit. The fourth day, we see that God gives lights to guide you. Lesser lights by night, greater lights by day. And God has provided a guide and a source for us, His precious Spirit. Brothers, sisters that help to light our way, His Word lighting our way. The fifth day, verse 20, God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind. And God says now for the first time, He blesses them saying, be fruitful and what? And I tell you, isn't that what happens when a Christian has seen the light? When a Christian is distinguishing between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit, when a Christian sees fruit begin to appear in his life and he's being guided by the lights that God has placed before him, then his life begins to multiply. You begin to share what you have. You begin to witness for Christ. And God commissions you. Go now. You're ready. You're well fed. Be fruitful now and multiply. And finally, His crowning act on the sixth day of creation, man. Man, finally, made how? We're told in the image of God. And isn't the whole purpose, verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. What's the whole culminating purpose of God bringing you on the scene in the first place? It's that you might reflect the image of Christ. Romans 8:28, we quote all the time, for we know that God is able to work all things together for good to them that love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And then we forget the rest of it that says his purpose is that we might, in the next verse, be conformed to the image of his Son. Christ-likeness. The image of God. Being like Jesus. Not in terms of perfection and saviorhood and deity, but in terms of our desires and our character. I want to be like Jesus. You know, being saved by grace hasn't taken that away from me. If anything, I want more now to be like Christ than ever before because, you know, the pressure's off. I can be as good as God can make me, and I'm not scared by it because my salvation doesn't hinge on my being good. My salvation hinged on what he did for me. So, this wonderful work of creation preserved for us in Genesis 1 so that we could see how our world came into being. I'm not totally spiritualizing away. God did everything he did on those days when he created this world. But there's a spiritual, put your gospel glasses on and see the spiritual view. But there's more, because when God had finished everything and he created man, and man woke up on the sixth day, verse 31 says, God saw that all he had made, and it, behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. And it's interesting that it doesn't say, and the evening and the morning were the seventh day. That is conspicuously absent. Look at what he said. He said it in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. And there was evening and there was morning, one day. Verse 8, and there was evening and there was morning, a second day. Verse 13, and there was evening and there was morning, a third day. Verse 19, and there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Verse 23, and there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. And finally, verse 31, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And then he blesses this seventh day, and what's absent, gang? And there was evening and there was morning. It's conspicuously absent. What is God saying? He's saying he did something very, very special for Adam and Eve, who was going to be on the scene in a little while. He's doing something very special for them. He is allowing them to enter into his rest. Because they were born, I mean, he was created on the sixth day, let's say Friday, just we don't know for sure if our Friday is the same Friday they had. Let's say Friday. And he woke up. And he looked around him. And was there scaffolding all over the place? No. Was a big cement truck anywhere pouring cement? Any crews paving? No. No carpenters doing anything? No gigantic nursery growing ferns to plant out around. When Adam woke up, everything was absolutely done. It's finished. And you see the repetition here in verse 1 of chapter 2, completed. Verse 2, completed, done, rested, done. Verse 3. Rested. You get the point, right? The Holy Spirit saying that when Adam woke up, he woke up into a rest of creation. There was nothing more to do. God had done it all for him. How neat. And so God said, you know what you need to do, Adam? Live in and enjoy what I've done for you. He didn't say, now, Adam, you see over there? Time just got out of my hand. And I didn't get that done over there. I need you to move those rocks. And there's a wheelbarrow right there, boy. I need you to move those rocks and that gravel because I sort of want it to be a little desert landscaping in here, you know. And Adam, there's some weeds over in that field over there. And Adam, you know what? I didn't quite get done with the Grand Canyon. You know, I still had a little bit more to do there. Would you take the chisel here and just go chip out some more for me? No, I mean, when Adam woke up, He entered into what God had done for him. He entered into God's rest. God had rested because God had finished everything. See, when it says God rested, you got to understand that God didn't sit back and go, man, what a day I've had. It's going to take me 3 days to get over this one. No, God is speaking in terms that we can understand. He's saying God rested. In other words, God finished everything he did and he sat down. It's done. And now he's saying, enjoy what I've done. Oh, you can have fun with it. And he brought animals by and he started naming the little animals. Brought this thing with a head way up high and this long neck and these four legs and this skinny tall legs and this little bush of a tail. Adam's thinking, sure. Giraffe. Giraffe. Lord said, good, Adam, that's great. Up by this thing. God's really into color coding, you know. He knows what colors go with what colors. This was an awesome winter creation. Black and white with this white stripe down the back. Beautiful tail. Adam said, Lord, this is beautiful. And probably in that time, if you squeezed a skunk, perfume would come out. Chanel number 5. Estee Lauder, I don't know. And he says, skunk! Wow! And you know, this went on for quite some time until he noticed that they were coming to him in pairs. It was a boy and a girl, you know? And Adam was smart, and he said, Lord, you know, something's wrong here. I feel incomplete. Lord, why does everybody else have a her? And I only have me. And Lord says, oh, Adam, because I've got something very special for you. I said, Adam, get comfortable. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And the Lord opened his side and took from him a rib. And he fashioned an awesome beauty. He fashioned out of that rib, well, I'll tell you, when Adam woke up, God said, come here, guy, I got something to show you. There's one more animal that you need to name. He says, oh man, Lord, I feel so refreshed. I had this dream, Lord, you know, that's not in the Bible, but I dreamed this beautiful creature came by. And Lord brought her by the hand and said, here. Woman, you're beautiful. And he named her woman because she was created out of the sight of man. And he was given his bride after that deep sleep came upon him. Now, that's great, Mark. That's great. But, you know, we know our Bible stories. Especially the first one in Genesis. Everybody reads the first two chapters in Genesis. But what I want you to see is that when Adam and Eve came on the scene, they entered into a Sabbath rest. They entered into the seventh day, and there was no evening and no morning. God purposefully and conspicuously absents those words, and there was evening and there was morning, a seventh day. He takes that out because he wants you to understand that that Sabbath rest was just to be a continuous thing where man was resting in what his Creator had done for him. Everything he needed was in the garden. Everything was there. Well, he's beginning to feel like, no, not everything. A woman wasn't. Ah, then God supplied what you need. Everything he needed was there. Now you just tend, you just keep what I've given unto you. You enjoy it. It would have been the utmost stupidity for Adam to have said, well, I just don't think this is done enough, Lord. I think I should add a little bit to it. What could he add to a perfect world? Nothing. But there was somebody lurking in the shadows that did not like this plan of God. He did not want you to have rest. And he disguised himself as a serpent, and he went into the tree, and chapter 3 tells us that this tree was a tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. And it's that knowledge that has given you a lack of rest in your life. Oh, not the knowledge of good, but the knowledge of evil has given you, taken away your rest, and that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. You know the story. Eve was deceived by the serpent, ate the fruit from the tree that God commanded her not to eat from. And man lost his rest. No more was there no evening and morning. No longer were they in the Sabbath rest condition. Now they were thrown out under the curse. And the curse was now work. You say, amen. Look at it. After they ate the fruit of that tree that was forbidden to them, the Lord said that there would be a curse upon woman, that he would multiply her pain greatly in childbirth, that there would be a curse upon the serpent for allowing itself to be used as a vessel for temptation, and it would eat the dust and crawl in its belly the rest of its life. And then he said that I will send a Savior, because the rest was lost. And God cannot live happily. God cannot live with you outside of his rest. And so he's saying the seed will come and this seed will restore the rest that's been lost to man. And he said, Adam, because of your sin, you shall eat from, because you've eaten from the tree, verse 17, the last part, cursed is the ground because of you. In work, in toil, you shall eat of it how long? All the days of your life. Verse 18, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because it was from you, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And he said, you're naked, and I'll provide for your covering. And how did he provide for covering? He had to take some kind of animal, and I got a hunch it was a lamb. Verse 21 says, he made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. See, as soon as man lost his rest, you know what man did? His eyes were opened. He saw he had a need before God. I'm naked. Do you know? And they got fig trees, fig leaves, and somehow sewed them together and made aprons of fig leaves. Fig leaf is no kind of covering. It's not permanent, is it? It's not everlasting. They get dry and brittle. You sit down on a dry and brittle fig leaf and stand up again, and everybody sees you stand up. The Lord, in his wisdom, knew that as soon as man would lose his rest, he would need a covering. And so the Lord provided the skin of the lamb to cover the sin of man. But there's still no rest, just a covering. And you read the history of the Word of God, rest was nowhere to be found. Man, the people in Babel, the roots of Babylon, work, 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 man. Trying to reach God, they built a tower that went way up into the heavens to try to find God. They slopped mud and slime together and baked it and made bricks out of it. And they said, we're going to reach God with our slimy efforts. Only problem was, that's an impossibility. And that's the roots of false religion. False religion says for you to try to work your way up to God. Work your way into his favor. Make a tower to try to get up to where God is. But it's an impossibility. And anybody who's striven to know God and striven to be right with God will attest that it is an impossibility. You never are high enough. You're never good enough to reach God's perfection. Well, how is God going to give us rest? God didn't want us to forget. He didn't want us people to forget that the rest is coming someday. I'll restore what you lost someday, kids. And so to keep you remembering and keep you from forgetting about the rest that will come, I'm going to give you a little signpost that points forward to the rest. And in Exodus chapter 20, the Lord took His people to Sinai and gave an expression of His will to them. And in verse 8, He said, remember what? The Sabbath day. Why did He say remember? They didn't know about it before. Well, someone had to tell them the story I just told you. And don't think they knew it. They were worshiping the sun god, the moon god, the star god. The psalmist tells us that. So they didn't know it. They had to be told. You lost your rest. But remember what God did back in creation? He gave us rest, but the devil stole it from us, and we've been working our way. We were slaves in Egypt. We don't feel right with God. We don't feel at peace with God. We got this dis-ease inside saying God's going to give you rest someday. And to keep you looking forward to that rest, you remember the Sabbath day. And we're going to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and the rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, He points them back to what He did and finished, didn't He? He says, remember what I did back then? Well, I'm going to do it again someday. And so that you won't forget and you'll hold on to the hope that rest will come, I want you to keep Saturday as holy unto me. You're not to work. Work, 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 work. 6 days. But when the seventh day comes, you're to rest. And if you work, you're in trouble. If you work, you're to be stoned. This is enforced rest, isn't it? Your employer doesn't have to tell you, I want you to take your vacation, and if you don't take your vacation, we're going to kill you. Has your employer ever had to threaten you that way to get you to take your vacation? No, man. I mean, in fact, he probably has to threaten you to keep you there until the day that you're supposed to take off. And watch you that you don't leave early. The Lord said, you're not to buy or sell on this day either. Well, why? Because it's important that you realize that this rest cannot be bought or sold. Well, why can't I work, Lord? Because you're to rest. You're to understand that there's no way you can work to enter into this rest. There's no works you can do to get this rest. You're just to rest. And so for thousands of years, the children of Israel kept the Sabbath day, looking forward to the day when the real rest would come. Jesus in Mark chapter 2 was being chastised because He healed somebody on the Sabbath. He was being chastised because He had let His disciples pull off some kernels of corn and eat it on the Sabbath day. Harvesting, harvesting, you worked, you worked. And these law nitpickers, you know, were there. By this time, the whole idea of the Sabbath had been lost. Nobody could understand, why are we keeping this? I don't know, we've always done it. Let's do it some more. So they confronted Jesus. And Jesus said something very important in Mark chapter 2. The end, He says, I am Lord of the Sabbath day. And He said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. See, they had gotten it backwards. Man was made for the Sabbath and not the Sabbath for man. In other words,
You better watch this institution, because this institution is forever. And he's saying, no, no way. The Sabbath was made for man's benefit. Oh, yes, so that he could rest. Oh, yes, so that he could get one day and seven off. No, that's not the benefit. I hate it when people refuse to see the spiritual truth in things and they think everything's kicking their feet off and taking a snooze on Saturday. That's not what the Sabbath was all about. The Sabbath was about the Sabbath was about Jesus. See, the Sabbath was made for us in the beginning. God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he had finished something for us and wanted us to know, it's done, kids. You don't have to add a thing to it. You can just enjoy what I've done for you. It was made for man. We weren't made for it. We came before it. And then he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. What did he say? I'm the Lord of rest. I am the Lord of rest. They didn't understand. It flew right by their head. It flew by mine for years. Because I was keeping a day for years. I read this commandment and I really believed that I had to keep a day. I didn't read Colossians chapter 3. Read it with me. I meant 2. Colossians 2. Verse 16, therefore, because Christ has triumphed, and because he has nailed all our debt to his cross and paid it in full, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to whom? Christ. Okay, we see some shadows being cast right now, don't we? This thing, this light casts a shadow. See my, can you see, some of you on the floor can see my shadow here. A second, honey, would you? She's hiding, she, sun's in her eyes, it's a blessed relief, huh? Oh, that's perfect. Would you just mind standing? Profile, no. Now here she is, okay? And she's casting a shadow, right? And we're standing, let's say we're all standing behind her, and we see the shadow of this beautiful pregnant lady. And we've been told, that's Leslie. That's something like what she's going to be like. I can hardly wait for you to meet her. But we got to get up to her. But right now, because we're this side of the light, we're just going to see her in shadow. Well, let's say that I've been told I'm going to marry this lady. And I've studied her shadow. And I've kept that shadow sacred for days and days and days. And I've really tried to get to know her as best you can. And I have sort of an outline of what she's going to be like. But you know, when I get up to where she actually is, I'd much rather have the substance than the shadow. You can't kiss a shadow. Can't hardly catch it, can you? Can't snuggle up to it. Can't commune with it. Can't fellowship with it. It's just a promise of something to come. Now, I'm not telling you this. The Word of God is telling you the Sabbath was a shadow. A shadow of Jesus Christ. Just like the Passover was. And the new moon feasts. Yom Kippur. All of those holy days were shadows, outlines of Jesus Christ. But you know, I'll take the real thing instead of a shadow anytime. How about you?
Now, there are some who live in the shadows. They live in darkness. They're not living in the full light of revelation. They're living before the cross instead of in the light of the cross. And there are some Christians who, by the way they live their lives and by the lack of their rest, have not discovered Jesus as their Sabbath yet. I really don't care what day you keep, to tell you the truth. I used to be real pro one way, then real pro the other, and now it don't matter to me. I don't care. And that really upsets both of those camps. All I care is that you know real rest in Jesus Christ. And that's all Jesus cares about. He wants you to know Him not as a shadowy figure, but He wants you to know Him as a real friend. He wants you to understand that the rest has come. After thousands and thousands of years of a promise of rest and people not working and people not buying on Saturday, finally on a Friday of Recreation Week, the real rest arrived. That last week of Jesus' life is the week where Jesus recreated a whole new spiritual world. And just like on the Friday of Creation Week, Jesus, whom we're told in Colossians, is the creator of all things, Jesus said in the beginning on that Friday, "Ooh, it's very good, it's done, it's finished." Jesus, when He was recreating the spiritual realm, hanging on the tree, cried out, "What? It's finished. It's done." You know why He chose those words? Because He wanted you to understand that the Sabbath had arrived. The real Sabbath. And we're, you know, a big thing is made in the Scriptures about how, you know, they had to rush Him into the tomb because the Sabbath was coming. Well, He had purchased Sabbath rest for us. And think about all that He bore for us on the cross. The curse that came upon Adam when the rest was lost came upon Jesus. A man was lost by partaking of a tree in a garden. Man is saved by another one in another garden, hanging on another tree, crowned with the thorns that are our curse, sweating great drops of blood. And the Lord said, "Now because you've lost your rest, you're going to sweat." And why is Jesus in the garden sweating? Because all the curse that we deserve is placed upon Him. He sweats great drops of blood, not just so that we be awed by great drops of blood, but so we make the tie between the curse and sweat. And it's on Him now. The full curse is on Jesus. And the crown of thorns, why not something else? Why thorns? Because the thorns represent the curse you deserve and I deserve, placed upon His head. Thirst is another curse in Deuteronomy. On the cross, He cries out, "I'm thirsty." Loneliness, He cries out, "He's lonely. My God, why have you forsaken me?" "I've forsaken you because all the curse. If I don't forsake you, I have to forsake all of these." And Jesus came to save us, and so He had to be forsaken so that we would never be. You know what you say when you say you think God has left you, God has forgotten you? You're saying that all that Jesus did on the cross for you is nothing. What blasphemy. All the curses. Oh, and I got to tell you something else that happened. Remember what happened in Creation Week on Friday? What happened? Adam, a deep sleep came upon him, didn't he? And his side was open, and his bride was created. What happened to our Lord? His side was open. After he'd fallen into the sleep of death, his side was opened. The blood and the water poured out. The church was born through what he did. His bride was given to him through his open side. You see, the perilous recreation has come. And then he said, "It's finished, it's done." And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What happened when he was on the cross? Middle of the day, what happened to the earth? When he said, "It is finished," what happened? Darkness came upon this earth because God is saying, "It's done." The evening and the morning, Recreation Week is finished. Now we enter into rest. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 for a second. What time is dinner? 5:30? Good. Hebrews 4. Therefore, verse 1, let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had gospel, good news, preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, and it won't profit you either unless you unite it to your heart by what? Faith. Do you see that? The word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter what? That rest. Just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is talking about the children of Israel when they rebelled against him at Kadesh Barnea and they would not believe that they could go in. The spies came back. What? 10 came back with a lousy report saying, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. Caleb and Joshua came and said, man, with God before us, who can be against us? Let's go. Let's go. Let's get them. And they decided, no, they couldn't believe God. God wasn't mighty enough. The one who parted the Red Sea for them, made manna come down every day, the one who gave them water out of rock, that he's not big enough to take care of their enemies. They flaked out. And God said, okay, they were in the land 40 days searching it out. You were in belief, disbelief 40 days. You're going to wander now 40 years. Each year for one of those days of unbelief. So they wandered and that whole generation never entered into the rest of Canaan. He says, I swear, you're not going to enter in because of your unbelief. So that's where he's coming from, okay? Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Here's that finished work of creation I told you about. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And then again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Well, were they keeping Saturday in the wilderness? Yes. And yet God said, you're not going to enter my rest. They were keeping a Sabbath day. And God said, but you're not going to get into my rest. Wait a minute. What's he saying? He's saying that day does not equal my rest. See, there are those who teach today that if you just keep Saturday, you've entered into God's rest. Baloney. He says right here, they were keeping the Sabbath. But they didn't enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. What? It's not Sunday? It's not Saturday? No. It's today. Are you in his rest today? You know, I used to hate it when the Sabbath would be over. We kept the Sabbath. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing to us. I mean, on Friday night, we'd light candles and we'd have a special meal. And it was like Christmas Eve every week. We'd get our house all cleaned ahead of time because you can't work on the Sabbath, you know, and get our meals fixed ahead of time and polish our shoes and gas up the car and do everything all ahead of time. And it was just like getting ready for Christmas Eve. And man, I'd hate it when sundown Saturday came. Oh, it's gone. Because I felt so close to the Lord. It's gone. I got to work another 6 days before I can rest again. And then I came to understand what it meant to be saved by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I realized that I could be as close to God today as tomorrow as any day, and that Jesus never left me. And suddenly what I had one day a week flooded my soul 24 hours a day. And I remember that first week that we didn't keep the Sabbath day anymore. Because we thought, why do we need to keep the Sabbath when we've got Jesus, you know? We've got the real thing. Don't have to. I'll never forget when the sun set on that Saturday, how neat I felt. Because I didn't have that feeling that Jesus was leaving now for another 7 days. Because I was taught, this is holy time. Jesus is specially here in this holy time. You're going to have to wait another week to have him come visit you again. In fact, we'd even hear stories about how Jesus would come and knock on your door on Friday night. And if you weren't ready, man, yeah, turning Jesus away. And how neat it is to realize that now he lives in me. And every day I have that rest. And it was really neat. I wish you could have all kept the Sabbath the way I did, because it was really neat. One day a week, you had an excuse. You couldn't mow the lawn. You couldn't go shopping. Guys? Too bad, huh? You couldn't paint. You couldn't fill it up with a lot of stuff. You had the rest. It was really neat. And then when I came to understand what the Sabbath symbolized in salvation, I realized, you know what? I don't have to work any in order to be saved. Because the Sabbath rest points forward to Jesus, who did it all on the cross to make salvation possible for me. He did it all. And I can't add to it. It's finished. It's completed. I can't better it. And see, that's the blasphemy of some of these religions that says, well, Jesus just provides the beginning of salvation. Now you have to finish it. No, it's finished. How can you add to something that's finished? What could you add? Nothing. You're just like Adam and Eve in the garden. You've just got to enjoy what God has made for you. And there remains a Sabbath rest today. For those who believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, you can have this Sabbath rest every day. It is the answer to your restlessness. He comes in and He puts a peace inside, a rest of heart, a rest of soul. And you're no longer trying to be good enough and work enough in order to get the rest. The rest is yours. And He finishes by saying, verse 9, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And that word Sabbath rest in the Greek means a Sabbath celebration for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest, God's rest, Christ's rest, has himself also rested from all his what? Works, as God did from his. You're no longer trying to work your way to heaven. You've entered into the rest of salvation. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50 quickly. And you'll see that today there is a satanic plot out to rob you of your rest. Satan hates. He hated the first creation and tried to mar it by sin. Now he hates the rest of recreation. He hates the rest of redemption, so he's trying to mar it by a false gospel. And the Lord says that the problem with their people is that they don't know how to go back home. Verse 5, they will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in its direction. They will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. Verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They, the shepherds, have made them turn aside on the mountains. And they have gone along from mountain to hill, mountain to hill, mountain to hill. And they have forgotten their what? Resting place. And as a result, they're worn out, they're tired, they're devoured by their adversaries. Beware of false teaching. Beware of false teachers. Beware of those who would rob you of your rest, who would get you so involved in a system of works that you forget your resting place. And they just push you from mountain to hill, mountain to hill, mountain, and you're so worn out spiritually that you pray to anything. Depression, you pray to all sorts of things because you've lost your rest. Don't lose your rest. You hang on to Jesus and what He's done to you, done for you, what He's doing in you. And I like this last verse in Isaiah 26, just the book before Jeremiah. Isaiah 26, verse 12, like they've said during the retreat, if you're a Bible marker, you better mark verse 12 because it's a Sabbath rest verse. Lord, Thou wilt establish peace for us. since thou hast also performed for us all our works. All the works that are necessary for you to be saved have been performed by Jesus Christ. Have you entered into rest? Do you know right where you are with God? Are you resting in the Lord like you're resting on this chair? Just putting your full weight on Him? Oh, you don't have to shield God from anything. He's big enough to hold you. Are you keeping the Sabbath? You know, you can't buy or sell this rest. You can't work to deserve it. It's a gift. Mankind entered into a Sabbath rest almost 2,000 years ago that will never be broken. Let us enter into that rest. Was Adam accepted when he was created? And entered into rest? Yes. If you enter into this rest, you are accepted. Jesus is our Sabbath. He's the stuff, the substance that the shadow just pointed toward. I hope everybody here is resting in the Lord. Because when you have the peace with God, you'll then begin to experience the peace of God. But you can't have one before the other. Some of you are trying to have the peace of God. You know, get through this thing. Come on now. I've got to psych myself down. I've just got to breathe deeply the way they told me. No. You know, you don't have peace because you don't have peace with God. When you have peace with God, then the peace of God will come and flow into your life. He is our rest. The Sabbath was made for man. Hallelujah. It's a work of God for us. It is done. Let's enter into that rest. Lord, we thank You that we are not restless. We thank You that we do have a rest in You. Lord, we pray that You would help us to celebrate the Sabbath rest right now. Thank You, Lord, for giving us Your supper, a way to remember the events of Recreation Weekend. We remember that on that sixth day of Recreation Week, You cried out, "It's finished. The work is done." They are saved. Lord, we remember that You left the throne of glory in order that we might be lifted up to glory. We praise You, Lord, and we celebrate Your Sabbath rest right now. A rest that never leaves. It doesn't set with the sun. Jesus' name. Amen.